The text is the gospel reading from St. John. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." The sermon title is what Old Testament scholars call a numerical saying. For example, Proverbs 30:21, under three things the earth trembles, under four it cannot bear up. When you hear our text, what startles and leaves you breathless, though, is the law. But there's only one imperative in this entire text. You must remain in my love. Jesus goes on to say, since you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And Jesus says the reason for this discourse is that your joy may be full. So he must be saying something startlingly breathtaking if full joy is the end game. The first thing he says we've heard before, everything which I heard from my Father I made known to you. Stop thinking there is a God behind Christ who is different, menacing, out to get you. Every single thing the Father wants you to hear from him has been revealed to you in who Jesus is and what he does. You are in the know. You're not outside God Almighty's circle of friends. Think of Abraham. 2 Chronicles 20 calls him God's friend forever. In Isaiah 41, the Lord calls Abraham my friend. James 2:23 says he was called God's friend. Read Genesis 12 through 25. See the ups and downs of God's friend and know that in the depths as well as in the heights, the Lord never ceased to be Abram's friend. Here, Jesus assures us he has forever called us friend. Our sin is that we don't believe it. We doubt it. We don't rely on it. On top of that, we think that our Father's friend is out to get us. Truth be told, we put more trust in a sinful fallen friend than we do in God in flesh and blood. Now that too is startling, but I'm not here to startle you with your sinfulness. Your conscience can do that easy enough. I'm here to startle you with what your friend Jesus says. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I'm sure some of the apostles in the upper room thought they had chosen Jesus. They looked at their whole relationship that way. Here Jesus turns it completely around. Not emphatic at all did you make the choice, but totally on the contrary. I chose you for myself. The last lines in the movie version of Stephen King's Stand By Me are an author typing. I never had any friends later on like the ones I had when I was 12. Does anyone? That's true. When Jesus calls us friend, it takes us back to middle school, where life can be tribal and savage. And even one friend makes a difference. And it takes us back to what could have been the horror of horrors, choosing sides for team sports. Now, it was okay not ever to be the captain. It was okay not ever to be chosen first, but to be chosen last, or worse, to be chosen dead last by default. Here, we're startled to find that we're not the last chosen. In fact, we were chosen before God's own Son and that God the Son chose to stand by us, to stand in front of us, as our sins, our death, and our devils came raining down upon him from Gethsemane on. Few of us were that friend that everyone wanted to have, that was bigger, better, smarter, more popular than everyone else. But we all know what it meant to have that guy or girl as our friend. I can't make that happen for you in middle school, but I can tell you it has happened in time and for eternity. The holy Jesus, the Jesus who can do everything, deserves everything, whom heaven and earth wait on hand and foot, stands by you. And he doesn't stand there with his hands in his pockets. He fights for you. He prays for you. He pays for you. He defends you. Startled? Go back to middle school. Think of that time when the popular kids stuck up for you and realized, my friend Jesus does that 24/7. But keep listening. Not only did Jesus choose you, but he appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. From God's word to the first Adam, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. To Kansas realization that all we are is dust in the wind. To Johnny Cash at the end of his life, referring to all that he has accomplished as my empire of dirt. Divine truth and human reason agree. Nothing lasts. Correction. Nothing lasts except what God says does. God the Son says that if anyone gives even so little as a cup of cold water in his name, that lasts forever. When Mary anoints Jesus' feet in preparation for his sacrificial death on the cross and burial in the tomb, she is roundly criticized. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. The thing that you did in Jesus' name, that offering you gave as a disciple, though you might not remember, Jesus can't forget it. Though all that we build with these hands, though these hands themselves will decay to dust, the name of the Lord endures forever. And those in that name, as well as the deeds done in that name, they do too. But I will show you something more startling than these, things that just might take your breath away. You know, Jesus is speaking directly to the apostles on Maundy Thursday. You know, these men are going to be sent out into the world to make disciples by baptizing and teaching. These men, after being filled with the breath of peace and the Spirit of Jesus, will be sent out to absolve sinners. These men are going to go out celebrating the meal that it is the body and blood of Jesus for us Christians to eat and to drink. The means of grace, because they are the words of God, the Spirit of God, and the power of God, well, they endure forever. You've been baptized with apostolic baptism. That never dries up. Though you sin against it 100 times a day in deeds and words and thoughts, that cool, clear water remains to forgive, to wash, to save penitent you. You've been forgiven by apostolic absolution. Whatever your sins may be, they have been sent away from you, separated from you, for good, forever. And meeting your Lord and your friend in the meal of his body and blood, he stays with you, he stays in you, he stays on your side till the end of the ages. Finally, we're at the fourth thing that will take your breath away. Jesus says, Jesus promises, God Almighty in flesh and blood guarantees, whatever you might ask in the name of me, the Father will give to you. The insert takes away from the promise by introducing the little word then. No, this over-the-top promise that makes me gasp is the result or purpose of Jesus being my friend, choosing me, and making me a participant in works and fruits that remain till time out of mind. Remember the 60s show, I Dream of Jeannie? You know that gin, singular, is a supernatural being between Allah and men in Islam. Jinns are usually not good or helpful, but genie was, or always tried to be. Well, Jesus is not portraying the Father as a jinn or himself as abracadabra either, but he is making a promise. He says, whatever, and this is an expansive, unlimited construction, whatsoever you ask. So ask God himself, ask as God himself has told you that you can. Ask with God the Son standing next to you, covering you in baptism, in you in communion. Whatever you ask comes out of his mouth. Don't be shy. Don't ask according to what you think God can do. Don't ask according to what you think God will do, or what science says God can do, or what sinners conclude he's willing to do. Ask as you would from a great king with his son standing right beside you. That's Luther in the Large Catechism. I quote, imagine if the richest and most powerful emperor commanded a poor beggar to ask for whatever he might desire and was prepared to give lavish royal gifts, and the fool asked only for a dish of beggar's broth. He'd be rightly considered a rogue and a scoundrel who had made a mockery of the imperial majesty's command and was unworthy to come into his presence. Just so, it is a great reproach and dishonor to God if we, to whom he offers and pledges so many inexpressible blessings, despise them or lack confidence that we shall receive them, and so scarcely venture to ask for even a morsel of bread. Here is our sin and our sinfulness. We don't take our friend, our Lord, our God, our Savior at his word. We go by the stupid words of men. Be careful what you pray for, you might get it. We think God is pleased when we come mewling to his throne of grace, not with all boldness and confidence, but like Wimpy comes to Popeye for a hamburger. God sending his own son into our flesh and blood, into our time and space, the son choosing us as friends, blessing us with eternal fruit, and not remembering our sins, but the littlest things done in his name, is all of it is so that we can ask whatsoever. And we don't even have the courage of Oliver to whisper more, please. Thanks be to God that his promises, his grace, his mercy don't time out. It's not too late to bring big, bold petitions to the King of Kings, who has the power to do anything and the love in Christ to do everything for his friends. But if you know your jinn mythology, the problem there is in how you ask. If you don't ask precisely the right way, with just the proper words, instead of getting heaven, you get hell. The true God is not like that. The true God is at least as good and as loving, and as good and as loving those sinful parents are. Kids ask their parents in their simple innocence for all sorts of things that could harm them. Not even a fallen sinful parent says, oh, sure, you can have those matches. Go ahead, steer the car for yourself. Jesus here gives us the assurance that our prayers can't go wrong. They can't go counter to his saving plans. Because he says, whatsoever you should ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. The Father never ever gives what will lead Jesus' friends away from his name. When you're watching football and the game is on the line, and you can see that because of a penalty, your team gets a free play, they can't lose. They can only win on this play. Don't you gasp? I do. Jesus' loved ones, his friends, can't lose in this life or the next, no matter what they ask in his name. See the emoji here. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.